The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Oh, Lawa. Who need that?
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now, your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
You know that part in episode 4 where Han says, "Didn't we just leave this party?"
No, I've never seen that part before.
That's exactly how I feel right now. It feels like we just got up out of these seats.
Yeah, but happy to be back.
Absolutely. Happy to be back with you for the Forcecast, this week's episode for June 15th, 2007. Middle of June already. The summer's going to be gone before we know it. I'll have done nothing summer-ish. Oh, well. Well, that's what it's like getting old.
That is, you know, and it kind of leads me into that anecdote that I wanted to share. I got to get this in real quick.
Please. Shoehorn it in, my friend.
See that transition? I've been learning from you.
Learned it by watching you, all right?
I went out to dinner with my girlfriend last weekend. A summery thing to do. So, you know, I worked that in.
Did you sit outside?
No. I don't think they have a porch. But anyway, we got sat and everything like that. And our waitress, it was a nicer restaurant, and our waitress came by, and everything that we asked for, she would say, absolutely. Do you want more bread? Can I have some more bread? Absolutely. Can I have some more water when you get a chance? Absolutely. And it was kind of like, you know, at first
I thought she was mocking you?
I thought it was kind of funny, and then I kind of was looking around. I was like, is Jason here? Is he making her do this?
And did your girlfriend say, you know, you're not that
right? Well, you know,
get over yourself.
I feel like I'm trying to copyright it. Like, that's hot. Like, that's not how pretentious am I to say I own the word absolutely? Well, it was just very odd because it's taken on a whole new meaning for me where I go out in public and, you know, 99.9999999 infinite, you know, there's that 1% that actually listens to the show of the planet population.
Right, right.
But when people say absolutely to me, I'm like, I grin and I'm like, ah, right. like you just said.
You couldn't pick like a more common word to get excited over.
It's the Pee Wee Herman, you know, word of the day. It's
right. Every time you hear it now, you're
ridiculous. Ah! So, well, that's my ridiculous anecdote about how stupid it has become for me with absolutely.
Hey, in case you're new here, you don't know, this is a Star Wars podcast. So, we are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. At least we were as of
just
5 minutes
I
ago.
Started talking.
It's very late here, folks. Not going to lie to you.
Later than
you
usual.
You know how we are when it gets late. We start getting wacky.
A little slap happy.
Just a bit. We want to thank our sponsors, officialpicks.com. Check them out over at officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X. They are your source for all things Star Wars when it comes to autographs and photographs. You never have to worry about the authenticity when it's official picks. And we know that from firsthand.
We've seen it.
We've seen it in action. We know that those autographs are real. We've torn up a few.
Sadly.
Yes.
Is that a word?
I don't know.
See, I'm going to have to make up unique words because if I go around and I get offended
actually,
when people
I'm
say
I'm going to go on a limb and say sadfully is not a word.
I tried to combine sad and absolutely. Oh, sorry. I'm going to just stop talking for a minute.
Why don't you? Let's wish Ralph McQuarrie a happy birthday. Our good buddy John from The Art of Ralph McQuarrie wanted to remind us. He wrote this email. He's like, I'm sure you guys, you know, already know this and you're on top of this sort of thing. But today is Ralph's 78th birthday. Now, as we record this, today is Ralph's 78th birthday. And I got the email and I'm like, well, of course we knew
we
that. No, we didn't. No. didn't have it. I think StarWars.com has a list of birthdays, like a running list. Jimmy is usually on that.
Jimmy Mack?
Jimmy Mack. Yeah.
What day is his birthday?
No, about the Star Wars birthdays here.
It's like, how do you get on there if we didn't?
No,
I'm
not.
Just kidding.
When I say on that, I mean he's usually...
He's all over it.
Yeah. Boy, this is going to be a long show.
I've already driven you crazy.
Yes, you have. Yeah, usually Jimmy's on that, but it would be kind of hard to put a microcast together honoring Ralph McQuarrie. It would sound something like this. Hold on. Yeah, just like that. I mean, that's
us looking.
What would it be? Us looking at Ralph's work, flipping through the book. Like,
wow,
going,
that's awesome.
This
is beautiful. I wish you could see this.
Unfortunately, I don't think Succadelic has put any like Ralph McQuarrie, you know, remixes together.
No, but they need to.
Actually, they should. They should. If anybody can figure out a way, it's the Suck Lord.
That's right.
Well, you know, this weekend is also Father's Day, and we want to wish all you dads a happy Father's Day. And it's interesting. Our favorite dad here at the Forcecast is, of course, Lord Vader. And if you want to vote for him, you can do so over at Amazon.com. They're running a poll for the top 10 ways to celebrate dad. And there's a poll over there for your favorite dad. And the nominees are Homer Simpson, Atticus Finch, Tony Soprano, Cliff Huxtable, Mike Brady, and Darth Vader. They have really run the gamut.
Yes,
here.
There's quite
a huge spread
of possible fathers.
Pete, as it stands now, or as it stood when we were putting this
thing together,
where's Darth and who's on top here?
He is at 17% of the votes, which puts him in a tie for third with Cliff Huxtable, trailing just behind Atticus Finch at 18%, and with an overwhelming lead at this point, Homer Simpson.
Well, you know, I got to say, I think Homer's in a pretty good spot because nobody knows who Atticus Finch is. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I know who he is.
Well, but he's still got 18% of the vote, so.
Well, that's true.
And it is on Amazon.com. Those are mostly people who are going there for books and stuff, so.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But I'm thinking the last time I saw Darth Vader and the last time I saw Tony Soprano, I was slightly disappointed. So that's kind of skewing. That's kind of skewing it. Now, Mike Brady, last time I saw him, wasn't he trapped in a cave until Mrs. Brady started singing and then he reappeared? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I have blocked out all of those memories. Thank you very much.
Somebody out there in Forcecast land saw that. Anyway, so, I mean, I'm hoping that Darth Vader pulls it out. What percentage does he have now?
17.
17.
And this is the description that if you are voting for Darth Vader as your father, as your favorite dad. It says, people who think of Darth Vader as a father figure often have mixed feelings about their own fathers. You admire strong disciplinarians, yet you tend to rebel against authority.
Oh my gosh, that's me.
When growing up, you were probably distant from your own imperious father, perhaps cultivating a closer relationship with an aunt or an uncle. You may still feel as if you've never really known your father, suspecting that he may be keeping important family secrets from you. The mystery that has always surrounded him leads you to second-guess his motives. You may wonder whether he's trying to steer you down the wrong path.
Dude, that's not even funny. That is me. That's absolutely me. So they nailed it. All right, so like, if you're into Homer Simpson, what's the description there?
Homer is people who think of Homer Simpson as a father figure tend to either be proud underachievers, sensitive intellectuals, or silent types.
Which one are you?
I am a proud underachiever. Obviously referring to Bart, Maggie, and Lisa.
Yeah, right, right.
So,
right.
Very clever. Very, very well done. Very hard to find.
It is hard to find. When I went on to Amazon.com, it showed me the last 4,000 items that I've looked at, you know, I think since I got the internet.
Yes.
You know,
here's what you were looking at in 1983.
There was no internet then. Al Gore was still inventing it.
I had it.
Of course you did. All right. Well, anyway, that's that. So we have some more Father's Day warm fuzzies for you later on in the show. But so that's that. Check it out at Amazon.com. Or if you're me, you will never find it. We'll try to have the link on our show notes. But it'll probably be gone by then, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what does the winner get? Is there a contest?
I don't think it's a contest.
It's just a poll.
It's just a poll.
Yeah.
You know, they'll show a big picture of Homer Simpson or Darth Vader and say he was the winner.
Yay.
Not like the contest here, mind you, my friend, We have real winners.
That's true. We do have real winners, and we want to... You're jumping ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but we will congratulate our winners over at the RebelScum.com forums, the official ForceCast forums under the weekly ForceCast. We did a contest. As promised, we finally came through and did our contest with prizes courtesy of the History Channel and Electric Artists. We want to thank Terry again for that. We will have the question, the trivia question for the grand prize, which is, what, an Insignia 8-inch portable DVD player.
Yes.
Perfect for traveling to Celebration 5 and watching the all the movies on the plane or in the car or whatever.
Your DVD of the Legacy Revealed, due out later in November.
What?
Yeah.
Did they announce that?
No, but it was in the interview.
Well, did they? What, they said that?
Uh-huh.
November?
Yeah.
No. I think you're remembering that wrong. Really?
It's quite possible. There's a lot of things that are that from that the whole month and week right or surrounding Celebration 4 that
I think I
may not have been
I mean, I hate to argue with the guy that actually did the interview.
Argue away,
you're wrong,
my friend.
Because they said it was going to be released on DVD in the future. And then didn't she kind of clam up and get sort of freaked out by overstepping? Maybe?
Yes, I seem to remember that happening. I don't know.
Yep. You are a fountain of misinformation.
Yes, I am breeding misinformation all over the place.
So scratch that. We don't know when it's coming out. But okay. But when it does, this 8-inch portable Insignia DVD player will be perfect for watching it. Okay, so coming up here on June 20th, we're hoping that Star Wars will once again prove its domination. Check it out.
They're the movies that defined a generation.
You have to see the wizard.
Join host Morgan Freeman and Hollywood's brightest stars as they reveal the 100 greatest movies of all time.
Will your favorite make the list?
Use the Force, Luke.
AFI's 100 Years, 100 Movies, 10th Anniversary Edition. CBS Wednesday, June 20th.
I know I, like most of you out there, watch these darn things just to see a clip from Star Wars. I am curious. I like to see these countdown things. The AFI specials are always good. They've had like the best lines. They've had the best. What else have they had? Because this is the second time, at least, that they've done like the best 100 best movies.
Yeah.
I think they did it. They did it 10 years ago. So this is the 10th anniversary edition. It's going to be on CBS June 20th at 8 o'clock. So check your local listings for more info on that. Scheduled to be included in the special are Tim Allen. Now, they did this in alphabetical order, not order of importance, obviously. Tim Allen, Halle Berry, Peter Bogdanovich, Jeff Bridges, Lawrence Fishburne, Peter Fonda, Harrison Ford, William Friedkin, Dennis Hopper, Norman Jewison, Spike Lee, Shirley MacLaine, Malcolm McDowell. All right, no one else from Star Wars, but Harrison Ford. And what they're trying to do is catch some of the, you know, the films that were released from 96 to 2006 that could be considered,
mm-hmm.
namely all of the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear any clips from
no.
those in that trailer, but maybe they're just.
But they tend to be a little bit
suspense.
Nicer on that kind of stuff than the Academy.
We're talking about 100 movies. The prequels are certainly in my top 100.
Well, and financially, they're certainly there. So
yeah.
They gotta get some recognition.
I'd like to get some prequel love.
Darn it.
Maybe it could be like the AFI most anticipated movies.
That, Phantom Menace would certainly get on there.
Yeah, it definitely would. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, check that out if you're so inclined. CBS, June 20th, AFI's 100 Years, 100 Movies, making way for the last 10 years to finally be included. Yeah, they're gonna get Titanic in there. And
yeah.
This is funny. New entries on the ballot include American Beauty. Okay. The Aviator. Really?
Mm.
It's kind of a flop. Brokeback Mountain, Lord of the Rings, The Matrix, Saving Private Ryan, Sideways, Traffic, Titanic. I don't know if I'd consider these like AFI top 100.
Well, you know, Sideways.
This is like Wizard of Oz, Casablanca.
Right.
Citizen Kane, Star Wars.
All won awards, but for the life of me, I can't figure out how.
Yeah.
Especially Sideways. I know I'm probably going to offend a lot of people with that, but even as a fan of wine and, you know, trying to become a wine connoisseur, gosh, that movie just drove me nuts.
Really?
Yeah.
I liked it, actually. It was a good movie. I wouldn't put it on my top 100.
Look, are you just going to counteract everything I said
tonight? I am. I'm in that mood. I'm going to just...
Sky's blue. I don't believe so, my friend.
All right. So we wanted to also remind you that this weekend is the premiere of the Robot Chicken Star Wars special. That's going to be on Cartoon Network. It premieres this Sunday. Those of you who were at Celebration 4, who got to listen to Seth Green and company talk about the making of this. I mean, it was a big part of Celebration 4, actually.
Sure.
I'm very much looking forward to it. They're going to be playing not just some of the classic Star Wars moments from Robot Chicken, but there's a bunch of new stuff, too. So that's great. George Lucas is going to be having a little vocal cameo.
Yes. And it's very funny, by the way, if you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't watched, but
you'll get a kick out of it. And any of our fans out there, you'll definitely get a kick out of it. Definitely tune in because it's going to be it's all stuff. Again, it's a little inside, but everybody can enjoy it. But people who know it are going to really enjoy it. So
yeah, it's good. I mean, they layer it operates on both levels. If you're a casual fan, you're going to get something out of it. It's going to be funny. Oh, Star Wars, it's funny. But I mean, if you're a real fan, it's going to be really good stuff.
Yes.
I mean, really good stuff. Just like, I love that, the bit, the Death Star bit. Vader calling.
Yes.
It's just a classic. Classic. Almost as good as the real Episode 3 parody. I'm a
that
huge...
That guy's awesome.
I would give that person an Oscar. I really would. It's just absolutely hilarious. Hey, speaking of Celebration 4, of course, you know, since you and I sort of hog the microphone, so to speak, for the Forcecast crew, Jovial J. Shepherd, the man, as Jimmy calls him, wanted to send out some special shout-outs to some folks that he had the chance to meet and see at Celebration 4. So he sent this along. So here you go, Jay. Your shout-outs.
Please welcome Jovial J. Shepherd!
Hey, this is Jovial J. I just want to give some shout-outs to some people that I saw and met at Celebration 4 that we just didn't have time to get into the shows at Celebration 4. First off, I just want to say hey to Chase Machen, who was my roommate. He was one of the volunteers at Official Picks, and it was great getting a chance to meet him. I'd also like to say hey to all the fans that we finally got to meet, such as Jad Bean, Jedi Justin, Jedi Schwa, Mick C., and Eric. It was great seeing all the fans of the Forcecast and getting to meet you throughout the show and at the live recording. Also, a big shout out to all the folks at Dark Horse, Del Rey, Random House Audio, DK Publishing, Titan Publishing, and especially Stan and John at The Art of Ralph McQuarrie. It's great getting to be able to put a name with all the or a face with all the names that I've been emailing for so long. Sway from the Chewseum, he stopped by to give us some shirts, which was really cool. Stephen Hayford, who posts all the holiday photos on RebelScum.com. It was great getting to meet you finally. The whole crew from the DCSWCC who were out there. That was really great to see all of us out there in support. And especially to Philip Wise and all the folks at RebelScum and TheForce.net for making this happen and just having a great time over the weekend. So big shout out to all of you. Thanks again.
I will deal with this Jedi slime myself.
This is Matthew Wood. I play General Grievous, and you're listening to The Forcecast.
Celebration.
So you like London?
Double-decker buses, bobbies, little pubs.
There's Big Ben. There's Piccadilly Circus.
Well, the celebration is not completely over. I mean, sort of is for us, but for the other part of the world, it is not. It's just beginning. Celebration Europe coming up. July 13th through the 15th at London's Excel. I'm starting to feel that kind of what I think a lot of folks were feeling as we were preparing for Celebration 4. That kind of, I hope someone's there to not leave us behind.
Well, we've got some insiders out there.
I got to tell you, I'm starting to feel behind.
Yes. Well.
Left behind. But a couple of Celebration Europe stories. One, I tell you, it doesn't get any better than this. if you're George Lucas, you get in for free. Now,
I don't really find that to be an amazing news item, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, it's a little cooler.
Here's the catch.
It's a little cooler than that. If your name is George Lucas and you can prove it, you get in for free. So I don't know how common a name that is. I mean, George is pretty common. Lucas, did you go to school with anybody with the last name Lucas? I'm trying to think.
No.
I didn't either.
I went to a school.
Oh, yes, I did.
A guy whose first name was Lucas, but that doesn't really count either.
Matt. I went to school with a Matt Lucas.
Does he do the voice of Anakin on the animated series?
No, that's right. The same name. That'd be cool. I got a hookup then.
Yeah.
And then I also went to school with this kid, Nick Lukens. That's probably not close enough.
No.
And his first name's not George.
I don't think they're going to be, like, really giving on this one. I think you've got to nail it, my friend.
You think? You got to be a little closer? All right. Anyway, also, if you're going to Celebration Europe, if you missed Celebration 4 and you were drooling over those sought-after medallions that were given away at the collector's panels, you are in luck. The folks at Celebration Europe are going to have their own versions, and these are really cool. If you look at the photos of these, now these are going to be given out at the collection panels. What's really neat about them is there's a UK coin with 3PO. There's an Italy coin, or medallion, I should call it, with Leia. There's a Sweden with Han Solo. Spain with R2, Portugal with Ben, and Poland with Vader. And what these are is these are medallions. They're impressive. I mean, they're like, I don't know, 2 inches, 2.5 inches in diameter. They're big. And they'll be given out at the collection panels, and they've got depictions of the original six Star Wars figures. Little Head Han, I might mention.
Ah,
I might add.
So,
I had one. I found him at a flea market for $6. In the '80s. Yeah, like late '80s. You seem really interested in that. Thanks.
I've heard that one a couple times, to be honest.
Have you really?
Yes.
Sorry. It's like the only good story I have.
I kind of want to have like theme music for that. Like, now Jason's reminiscing about Little Head Han. I'm sorry.
It was exciting, man. $6.
That is awesome.
And he was taped to the 12-back card.
Wow.
I mean, the card wasn't that great a shape, but he was taped to it. No gun. But he was, I mean, he's cherry, man. He is mint, other than not having his gun. But other than that,
he or a hand.
No, he looks good. So what are these collection panels, you might add? Well, we'll tell you some of them. There's Star Wars food collectibles, Japanese Star Wars collectibles, Star Wars collectibles roadshow, Star Wars tattoos. There's a panel on the French Meccano to European Tri-Logo toys, unproduced Star Wars toys, Canadian Star Wars collectibles, Danish Star Wars collectibles, trading cards, Swedish Star Wars collectibles. So there's something out there absolutely for everybody. And
I would encourage you, and Gus encouraged everybody in our MegaCast interview, to go see the things that are outside the realm of what you would usually see. So if you're from Sweden, you may not want to go to those panels, but go to the other ones and see what's going on in Canada or elsewhere.
So. Broaden your horizons.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I can't stress enough. I mean, this was... When we actually went to the... We didn't go to any of the panels. I think we stepped in at one, didn't we? I wanted to the micro collection. We stepped in there, but we were worried we were missing something else. And we just... That was the one thing we really didn't get much of a chance to do, which was... to me, the panels are a little bit more relaxing than trying to, you know, make sure you cover the celebrities and
jump over lines trying to get into things.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of respect, like, the dudes that just kind of... were real cool and just chilled at the collecting panels and walked away with that really nice set of coins.
Yeah. And were rewarded for their patience.
Absolutely. But there we go. That's the first. I think that's my first of
that
today.
Is the first. I don't want to start keeping track, just by the way. So.
I can tell you don't. I can see why. Well, for the lack of any major Star Wars news, we do have some Indiana Jones 4 news. It's pretty exciting. We we might actually have a Forcecast listener or a TFN reader show up in this film.
That would be very cool.
Yeah, the people listening can't see your head nods. I look over at Pete. He's just nodding at me, like, right on.
You got it, buddy. Look, I'm all about both verbal and nonverbal communication.
Yes, you are.
Which doesn't work on the podcast, surprisingly.
Well, anyway, so we've got, three listeners and TFN readers. John Sheen from Long Island, Nicholas from Brooklyn, that's how he writes it in his SIG, and Mitchell, all vying for positions to be one of the extras in the new Indiana Jones 4 movie filming in New Haven, Connecticut. All right, so actually, Mitchell sent in a great account of his experience in waiting in line. Well, there really wasn't much of a wait.
No.
He was expecting a huge wait.
As was I.
Were you there?
No, I was expecting a huge wait for him.
Oh. Well, and actually, we had mentioned last week that one of our beloved forum members, John Fagan, was going to make it out there, and unfortunately, he was unable. So, John, we wish you all the best, bud. We know you got some things you're going through, but hopefully one of our listeners or a TFN reader is going to get in, and you can live vicariously through them. So we'll
because we are.
Hopefully they'll leave no one behind.
That's right.
As they're cast in an Indiana Jones movie, and we're stuck in the Forcecast studios. At any rate, here is Mitchell's report. He says, the day that he had been waiting for was finally here, Indiana Jones 4. The chase scene in my hometown of New Haven, and the call for extras would begin at 1 o'clock p.m., mind you. But knowing the devotion that fans of Spielberg, Lucas, Ford films have shown in the past, I headed out early and was ready to wait for hours. Armed with my iPod, magazines, especially this week's Entertainment Weekly with my obsessive Fan of the Week article. So congratulations, Mitchell. That's awesome. I was ready for my chance to be part of the magic of the movies. No word on if Steven Spielberg read the article on the pot, as I had described last week.
Thank you so much.
He says, I arrived at the casting call line. It had a red carpet, was outside the hotel on Crown Street at 8:10 a.m. And I found I was number 7 in line. That's pretty good. It's better than us at the Lucas thing at Celebration 3.
Yeah.
There were folks from New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and some locals, but for once, I felt good about being 40. I was the oldest there. So that looks pretty good for him, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Distinguishes him.
It does. It does. Before 5 minutes passed, the door opened, and all of us were taken to a room and filled out our information on forms. And he actually sent in a scan of the form, and we've got it at the force.net. You can take a look at it. It's a genre project. That's the, you know, kind of like the name of the production company, I guess, or the casting agency, who knows. Your typical standard questions: name, address, phone number, hair color, eye color, age, height, you know, stuff, whether you're a member of a union. But this is interesting. They have separate questions for men and women. Like men, all men will be given a short 1950s style haircut. And they had like they needed all their sizes, their hat size, their shoe size. And so here's some questions. I would have been out based on this question. Do you play football? typically in high school, I was the football. Yes, no, and at what level? And it reiterates here, if you're willing to have your hair cut, yes. And if you say no,
that's an automatic trip to the file later pile.
Yeah, you're not going to be in the movie. Sorry.
No.
Sorry. No long hair, dope smoking hippie types in our movie.
This is the 50s for crying out loud.
That's right. Women, all their different measurements and sizes. And do you have experience cheerleading? Yes, no, and at what level? What's your occupation? And do you own a dog? Why do these questions seem so random to me?
That one knows.
Have you ever cheerleaded? What do you do for a living? And do you own a dog? But I guess the dates that they're shooting are June 28th through July 6th, taking a couple days off July 1st and July 4th. Clearly so. Harrison can yuck it up with Calista Flockhart out on the beach somewhere for the 4th of July.
You know, so everyone can be with their loved ones.
That's right. So anyway, so that's the form. And luckily, the story goes on. Mitchell didn't have to wait in line. They let him in. He was out. Boom. Gone by 8:40 a.m. Amazing. Said that a friend of his went down at 1 o'clock, the time that it was listed, saying that the line was, and he said that the line was stretching around the block and down the street. All kinds of craziness, news cameras. So, I mean, it was pretty smart. I mean, that not only did he go there, but kind of smart of the casting company to say, well, you know, we know people are going to be there early, yeah, so let's just get them in.
Get a few in and get through some of them, and that way we can be out of here early. You know, it's really cool that, you know, he gets that, you know, casting call in his hometown. All we've gotten lately is the Dukes of Hazzard movie for the family ABC Family Channel. Not quite the same caliber.
Not quite. I think it's... I actually think the Family Channel might have skipped it. I think it's going straight to DVD. But yes, that is filming in the metropolis that is Canton, Ohio.
Yes.
Come on, we need somebody to do a decent movie here in Canton. You know what? There is one. Isn't there one about a football player coming out that they're filming? I thought I read about that.
Here?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah. No, there's a movie. There's a movie filming here.
There and it's is. Not the Dukes of Hazzard.
And it's, well, that is filming here.
All right.
But, yeah.
All right.
Anyway, okay. Speaking of Indiana Jones, we do have some possible spoilers. So spoiler don't say we didn't
alert.
Warn you.
Yes, it's the alert is on.
Yeah. We probably should have warned you before. Now you know that there's potentially a football scene with cheerleaders.
Oh, that doesn't give away too much of the plot.
No. But what can we infer from some of these little tidbits that we're picking up here? Number one, and these are all found at theforce.net. Though we are already aware of filming in New Haven, Connecticut, it looks like we're also going to have some filming in New Mexico and Hawaii.
Hmm.
The opening scene is going to take place in Area 51 and will have Indy up against Russian agents. And yes, later we find that that is the same Area 51 as you might suspect.
Hmm.
Shea LaBeouf, his character will be a bit of a greaser. That's right. He may have actually auditioned on that really bad grease show that was on NBC.
So you want to be John Travolta?
Yeah. I got suckered into that. Yeah.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. I love lavish Broadway musicals. What can I tell you? Shea's character in Indiana Jones is going to be thrown together in the adventure, and then they'll find out later. Again, spoiler. Come on. They're related.
Hmm.
And I, you know, we all heard that he was going to be a son.
Yeah, not a mind blower.
No, no. The main storyline revolves around crystal skulls and pulls from Chariots of the Gods, a book written in 1968 by Eric von Däniken. The book theorizes that technology and religion were given to ancient civilizations by aliens whom the people worshipped as gods. Now that's cool.
Hence, Area 51.
You know what I smell? Indiana Jones Predator crossover.
Now you're dreaming, buddy.
Yeah.
That'd be cool, though.
IVP. Yeah. Indy versus Predator. Could happen.
It could.
No, I love that concept. There are a number of X-Files episodes about that idea. And yeah. They were always really
and Stargate
compelling.
Was kind of on that same
right.
level, too. So,
yeah. Great movie. Never watched the show. No. Great movie. The
show didn't have James Spader, so yeah. I gave up on it.
Why am I going to watch it, then? I don't watch shows without James Spader.
That's right.
The main story. We already said that one. Looks like that the upcoming video game that we've been hearing about this video game since before we ever heard about the Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
Before we heard, gosh, I think before, you know what I'm talking about?
Before Xbox came out?
No, not quite that far. But I mean, we've been hearing about this for a long time.
It has
Indiana
been
Jones
quite,
and the
quite some time.
And the Staff of Moses. But that's still on track for a release coming up soon, but it will not be the official game of the movie. So, it's, you know, not a big deal.
Wonder if they'll do another one, though. I doubt it.
Well, you know, this happened with the Bond series where, you know, the one company lost the license for the games and then they got derailed. And I bet they're kicking themselves now after Casino Royale was such a huge hit.
Yes.
We also have some more rumors. This is the tangent show, folks. You can edit out and make your own like
story.
You can make your own like special edition of this show.
Yes. They take out all the tangents. It's 35 seconds long.
Chud.com is reporting that Karen Allen will be back as the drunk Marion Ravenwood. Nothing official yet, but apparently Chud has been all over Indy 4, and they're very rarely wrong, the folks at Chud.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Blanchett, according to IESB.net, will be the villain of Indy 4.
She talks in her sleep.
Don't go any further.
That's it. That's all you're getting.
That's all you got.
I'm retired. So that's, you know. But anyway.
So I think that's just about it. That's quite a bit.
Yeah.
We can infer some things. We got cheerleaders.
Got cheerleaders.
We got football players.
You got aliens. You got Russians.
Yeah.
What else could you possibly
Who could he take on after the Nazis? Yeah. The commies.
The Nazis are really always going to be the ultimate villain, though.
They really are. That's true.
They're the villain for all seasons.
You know, I'm a sucker for these things. I got to tell you. These lists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watch, you know, all those, like, remember the 80s and weren't the 80s cool and how about those 80s, you know, on VH1 or whatever channel that is.
Yes.
And I'm a sucker for lists.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about earlier, the top 100 films, I'll be watching that.
Mm-hmm.
Angry that Jedi got, you know, skipped again. What? Well, that's the springs.
And that is like, awesome. Where's Ben Burtt? He would love that.
Well, if you didn't hear it, I pounded my fist very forcefully on the Forcecast studio table here, and it sent this very strange vibration through the microphones. You may not have picked it up where you are. But all right, top 27 things you'd find at any Indiana Jones's garage sale. They had me at number one. Grizzled old man who says, "You chose poorly." Hit everyone who picks up an item. I like that.
That's good.
Number two is pretty good, too. Delicately placed bags of sand replacing stolen items. Let's see. What else is there? There's some good ones here. What else? Snake repellent. The stuff Marion left after he booted her alcoholic butt out of his apartment. A temple of doom. A Nazi lapel pin. Stuffed monkey forever captured in the timeless mid Sieg Heil.
That's the only way he can be remembered.
Number 22, Harrison Ford's career.
Ouch. Yikes.
Now, come on. He's Tom Clancy novels. That was pretty good. We'll have the link on our show notes. This is found over at King of Lists. A blog over at Blogspot. So
they have a whole blog. You're never going to get off that page.
What's that?
King of Lists.
Well, you know me and blogs.
Yes.
I'm a big fan. I'm a sucker for blogs and lists and blogs. You know, what can you say? So that's going to be your Indiana Jones 4 update for this week. I know we're counting it down. What are you laughing at?
That's such a great ending.
It's perfect. It's like it was meant to be.
That's right.
That's it for this week. We'll be back with headlines.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
We know what you come here for. You come here for Star Wars news, not Indiana Jones 4 news. Well, you'll find out when we get to the actual Star Wars news why we talk so much about Indiana Jones. No, I kid. You know, we're desperate for anything that tells us that progress is being made on either of the two Star Wars TV projects, and most really particularly the live action. I think if you did a poll of Star Wars fans, you'd find that the live action is the one. I mean, not taking nothing away from Dave Filoni and the gang over at Clone Wars. It's going to be fabulous, fantastic, but, you know, we really are chomping at the bit, I think, for something on this live-action series.
Right.
So reports are, according to IESB.net, that in Santa Monica, Lucasfilm, meeting with writers for the live-action TV show, meeting with folks that have written for shows like, say, Battlestar Galactica, Lost, and Heroes.
Those are terrible shows.
Yeah.
You know, nothing like pulling off the, you know, writers from the top, you know, sci-fi combo shows that there are on TV already.
Yeah, I mean, it's a natural that they would do this. Can you imagine the writers of Battlestar getting a hold of the Star Wars universe?
Well, and we've been excited about the prospect of what, you know, those types of people could bring. And you know, J.J. Abrams is a huge Star Wars fan, so I can assume that he was actually at C4.
That's right.
Him being part of Lost and kind of steering some of his best people over there, and if they can get some people who have the
passion. Battlestar is ending.
Right.
So
Battlestar's
over. That whole crop of writers is going to be up for grabs.
Lost will be over. We'll be done writing, I'm assuming, probably pretty shortly as well.
Right.
Because they've said they're going to end at 2010, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to end within the next couple of years. So they're starting to wrap up.
Oh, 2010?
So. Yeah.
Really? They got two more years of Lost?
Yes.
I shouldn't say anything. I've never really watched the show. But yeah. I just hear the grumblings.
Yes. Well, but I believe it's picked up again. But, you know, again, going after the best talent is something that warms my heart.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the way TV is going, where they're picking these concepts like 24, Lost, I'm drawing a blank, but you know what I mean, where they can't go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this a number of shows back. It's the Gilligan's Island thing.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually they're going to have to reach their goal or Star Trek Voyager or what have you. And you know, Lucas has been, and McCallum and everyone who's spoken about this, they've been pretty clear that we're talking about 100 episodes, mm-hmm. and assuming we're dealing with a 20-episode season, 5 years, bankrolled 100% by George. And so they're going to be able to really write the story arc so that it does end without, you know, jumping the proverbial shark now, as we call it. So it's definitely the way to go, I think, with the Star Wars series. And with a universe as vast as Star Wars, they're going to be able to jump around, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do this timeline and then move on to something else.
Yeah, maybe focus on one character for an arc or two and then totally go a completely different direction and focus on a different character. You know, follow some troops around for a little bit. And
I'm just, you know, one thing that's really puzzled me about George is I'm still trying to wrap my mind around his reluctance to do anything really, when you're talking about films, film-wise, canonical with this TV series, the live-action TV series. I just don't get it. I'm not sure. I can't figure him out because, again, I've joked about this before, but like, you know, what are we going to get? Is this going to be Caravan of Courage again? Or is this going to be droids? And I don't want to be a whiner, but I just, come on, give me Tarkin. Give me Palpatine. Give me Vader. If you're going to do between episodes 3 and 4, I don't care what's going on some planet we've never heard of. You know, if it's a Jedi, that at least would be cool. If it's a bounty hunter, please be one we've heard of.
Well, but that's the point. Where they get talented writers to make you care.
I don't know. I'll tell you the difference.
Here's
the difference.
I'll hear you out.
I'm always going to be comparing this to the films.
True.
Whereas with Battlestar, they rebooted the concept. So you weren't really comparing it. You couldn't make direct comparisons as much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Lost is completely new. Heroes, you know, completely new. So there's going to be enough to compare it to.
Yeah.
To where I'm just trying to... I'm not being critical. Well, yes, I am. I'm being critical, but I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know what...
Well, you're being critical about something, you know, and we don't even really
have
any knowledge about it. I mean, he said several different things. McCallum has said several different things.
It's going to be about bounty hunters, or it's going to just be, or, you know, it's not going to be about anybody you've ever heard of. No one.
You ever heard of Darth Vader?
Just give me a Vader cameo in Mace Sweeps. You know, something.
He drives by in his TIE fighter and waves at you.
Yeah.
An appearance by the Dark Lord himself.
Well, we were just on the Wikipedia page for Indiana Jones before the show and saw the picture of Harrison Ford in his cameo on the Young Indiana Jones series. So, GL's got pool.
That was a long time ago.
I don't know. I can't figure it out. But why even bother, like you said? I mean, we don't have anything confirmed.
You,
but
you, my friend, are jumping the shark.
now producer Rick McCallum has gone on record to say that the episode, each episode would be given a budget around $2 to $4 million and would be catering to the teen adult fans compared to the Star Wars films that had catered to the teen and young children. So the proposed TV show will not focus on the Skywalker clan and take place between Sith and A New Hope. Some rumors have reported that, of course, fan favorite Boba Fett may be featured in the TV show. And we've asked Daniel Logan a number of times, and other people have asked Daniel Logan. He's not going to say.
No.
He's not going to say. But at least we know that when you hear these little rumors that, you know, it is
pretty... Things are moving forward.
They are moving forward. And I think once Clone Wars airs, you know, premieres next fall, not this fall, next fall, that we'll hopefully start to get some more traction on this.
That'll be the monkey off the back a little bit. And, you know,
I don't think they want to steal the thunder of Clone Wars.
Sure.
They don't want to dilute the Star Wars pool, so to speak. So come on, give it. We can take it. Here's some more rumor. But I tend to believe this one. Actually, MovieWeb.com is reporting that George Lucas himself is backing a 501st documentary entitled Star Warriors. I don't know if I believe the name. It's not a bad name, but I don't know if I believe the name. Now, to this date, there's been no official Lucasfilm announcement of such a documentary. Therefore, this falls into the rumor category. Reading here from TheForce.net, reposted from MovieWeb. And this is the post. I recently learned that George Lucas is backing a new feature-length documentary about the 501st Stormtrooper Legion entitled Star Warriors. The film is being put together by the same team that brought us the awesome documentary Look Up in the Sky, The Amazing Story of Superman. Someone close to the film told me about the amazing footage that they have accumulated from all over the globe. Apparently, Lucas's pull was so strong, he got the 501st to march in the Rose Bowl Parade, blah, blah, blah. We all know that. An awesome sight to behold. The entire event was captured on camera, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, we've talked in the past about the Heart of the Empire, a documentary. And that is a documentary about the 501st, but it is not officially a Lucasfilm project. However, I got to say, based on your interview, Pete, with the producers of the two History Channel docs from Electric Artists, Legacy Revealed and Star Wars Tech, it seems as though they didn't really shut the door on future projects.
No.
And, I mean, we're not talking about like a feature film documentary that's going to be in theaters or anything like this. We're talking about probably a History Channel thing. And it seems as though, you know, with the success and the, you know, the acclaim of Empire of Dreams, and now, I mean, everybody is really excited about Legacy Revealed. It was one of their best rated shows on History Channel. For the demos that they were going after, and you know, talking to Star Wars fans, non-Star Wars fans, they're all buzzing. I just wonder if this is an avenue. We know that Lucas loves documentary, the documentary concept, that type of film. He's a big fan, and we know that, you know, the 501st, how it's not officially an organ, you know, an official organ of Lucasfilm. It is. They do a lot of work for Lucasfilm.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one thing I do know. We will never get any confirmation of this out of the guys in the 501st. We've had them on the show before. Great guys. But they really, and they should take their responsibility seriously, mm-hmm, of safeguarding these secrets that they're entrusted with. I hope that this is true.
Yeah. Well, this kind of falls into the, you know, what Lucas wants to do now. I mean, that's not quite... It's not quite Red Tails.
He said he wants to do documentaries.
Yeah, but he wants to do smaller films, and he may not be involved in it, but,
right,
you know, if he can start backing a few, that might
I mean, there's some rumors you hear and you go, nah, I don't think so, and then there's some you go, this one's
pretty believable.
Yeah, the pieces are kind of there.
It's better than Charlton Heston playing Yoda.
Right. Well, good for the 501st. We love the 501st.
Of the first advance reached the 501st, we knew that now we'd have to take the battle into space.
There's one set for stun. Before Lord Vader, we have a prisoner. The Death Star plans are not in the main computer. Move along.
All right, we've got more rumors. That's what this show is all about.
Let's stay with the rumors.
We're just gossip mongers. What do you think of that? Star Tours. I've never been on Star Tours.
And neither have I.
And you're much more traveled than I am.
Well, and I've been down in that area a lot more recently than you have, but I haven't been to Disney World since they opened MGM. So I kind of feel bad about that.
Well,
but, especially since I know my sister took her girls on there to see it, and they really enjoyed it, but it is desperately in need of an upgrade.
That's what I hear. That's mm-hmm. what I hear. And there is a rumor that Star Tours 2 is ready to really take wing. We've been hearing these rumors for a while, but according to, well, Anthony Daniels has kind of let the cat out of the bag that there's some talk about kind of revamping the Star Tours exhibit. And that may even be confirmed. I don't know.
Sure.
But they've never given a clear indication of what the new direction will be or what the concept's going to be. But according to this rumor alert at TheForce.net, the latest buzz over Star Tours is that Disney is now ready to push more cash and time into the project, which will likely be marketed heavily for the 2009 season as their main weapon to combat the new Harry Potter area going into Islands of Adventure. I don't know if you heard about this, but this Harry Potter thing is going to be unbelievable. It's going to be like actually being in the movies. I mean, that they're going to have the castle, they're going to have all the little shops. It's just going to be unbelievable. Be kind of nice if we had something like that for Star Wars, yeah. Actually.
Well, I've always been of the feeling that there would actually be a lot of use or a lot of interest in an all Star Wars theme park in and of itself. And you could do some really cool stuff with it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe George should just buy Disney.
Right.
Because wouldn't that just make a great Death Star?
Yeah, that would.
A little bit of paint.
A little dent in one of the in the top right there near the top. Everybody knows.
Right.
That's what I thought it was the first time I saw it.
A little bit of paint and a lot of patience make all the difference there.
That's right.
Well, a new big piece of the puzzle came in and claims that Anthony Daniels was about a year off when he talked about there being these plans to kind of reboot Star Tours. Apparently, the current plans are to remodel Star Tours. They won't be complete until 2008. A source claims that the Star Tours 2 plans are likely connected to the Disney Pixar name rebranding of the park, which is likely to happen in 2008. As for the ride itself, our sources say that all the details are still being finalized, but a good bet that Captain Rex will be retired from action, and a good bet that Star Tours will go into Disneyland and Walt Disney World through the window of time, left to do the work may stretch into the reopening in 2009. So
there you go.
There you go.
Well, it would be nice if
I didn't know about this Disney Pixar thing, rebranding.
I hadn't heard about that either, but, you know, They got to keep it as an attraction. It's got to stay at the forefront of Americana.
Well, that they do, and I think that the fact that the prequels really raise the bar as to what you expect from a film experience. I just, from what I gather, and I haven't been there, I haven't been on the ride, but it's probably a little dated by now, I'm guessing.
Live the adventure as you climb aboard your Star Tours transport for a wild, light-speed journey to Endor. But watch out. You may be in for a little turbulence along the way.
Well, the folks over in California at Disneyland, they don't have Star Wars weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the next best thing. They'll be holding the third annual Star Wars Fan Day at Disneyland. So all Star Wars fans and their families are invited. Now, this is not an official thing, but this is just some folks that have kind of gathered together over at StarWarsDisneyland.com. You can check that out again, StarWarsDisneyland.com. We actually got an email from Jennifer Kumpf. It said, "Dear Force.net podcasters, as always, I am enjoying the show and emailing to let you know about an event on June 30th, our unofficial California Disneyland Star Wars Day. We hear that are near the original Magic Kingdom do not have Star Wars weekends like Florida, and although they're closer to giving us one, as rumored at C4, we still have made our own day for fans to come meet and celebrate. The official website is at StarWarsDisneyland.com, and you can thank the Orange County Star Wars Fan Force for spearheading the idea. This is our third year running, and it is most likely because of this and C4 that we're even hearing rumblings of our own weekends. Hope to see some other fans come out for a fun time in Anaheim. So that's from Jennifer. So June 30th, another good excuse to go out to California.
That's right. And wag the dog.
Star Wars days are now at Disneyland Park.
Oh, that was a lot quicker than I thought.
There we go.
Well, there you have it. Hey, Peter Mayhew. We know Peter Mayhew.
Mm-hmm.
We sat on a bus with Peter Mayhew, actually.
Yes, you made him laugh. Ago.
I did make him laugh.
That was good stuff. No, it wasn't like that. That was very good. If he had done that,
would that have been the coolest thing ever?
I think I would have stood up and gone, look, I got to get off the bus. I'm going back. It's over for me.
Well, how about a whole day to honor Peter Mayhew? Peter Mayhew, there have been, of course, several Star Wars days at post offices around the country in celebration of the Star Wars stamps. But Granbury, Texas, the town of Granbury, proclaimed Peter Mayhew Day, and actually put together a commemorative cancellation stamp with Peter's image on it. The artwork, which was provided by Peter and Angie's daughter, Katie DeHay. Several members of the 501st turned out to, as always, to take some photos with the folks that were there to honor America's favorite Wookiee.
The recommendation went around, and my interview was probably 15 minutes talking to George about the character. The characters were up on the wall. There was Vader at one end, Chewie at the other end. And I decided Chewie was the better character. And George walked in, I stood up, and that was it.
And that was it.
Uh-huh. That was it.
Because you're 7'2"?
7'2".
Yeah.
Not
a man.
But the man.
And
the
blue
Wookiee.
Eyes, which helped.
So,
and George went, he had his associate producer with him. He said, that's the man I want. And that was it.
A clip from G4's Star Wars at 30 special, live from Celebration 4. Oh, you know, we just had to talk about this one. There are those stories that come along once in a while, and you're like, oh, yeah, we got to talk about that. How about a land speeder discovered in a Florida impound?
You'll have to sell your speeder.
That's okay. I'm never coming back to this planet again.
And, you know, I'm just picturing this scene. Here's the story. This was from StarWars.com. A few months ago, sharp-eyed auction watchdogs may have spotted a sporty-looking roadster sharing more than just a passing resemblance to one X-34 Tatooine land speeder while browsing the internet listings. Now, this wasn't an original prop that hovered its way into private hands after being traded for passage to Alderaan. It was almost as cool, though. The land speeder, which sported a bright red and white paint scheme and a 1971 Volkswagen chassis, was actually a custom vehicle built by the Coca-Cola Bottling Company back in the early 80s for use in parades and special events, like the famous R2-D2 clone Cobot robot from Coke. The Coke land speeder showcased the Coca-Cola brand by using popular Star Wars iconography.
Mm-hmm.
I can read. In this case, Luke's hometown ride. So apparently somebody spotted this thing at an impound lot. This thing has been here since the 80s. Now, if anybody who's ever had their car towed to an impound lot, I'm just picturing the scene because this happened to me when I was in college, and I wasn't the titled owner of the car. So me trying to get this thing out of the impound lot, when my mom was living in Canada at the time. And so, I mean, we had to, and she was living in like Mayberry, Canada. They had just got a fax machine at the police station. And this is like 96, mind you.
Yes.
And my mother goes in to get the thing faxed to the impound lot because they won't even look at me because I'm not the titled owner of the car. And they're literally reading the instructions for the fax machine as she's walking in. They just unpacked this thing. So I know how tough impound lots are.
Says here this belongs to one Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Like, I could just see the woman. She's like, you don't look like no Luke Skywalker to me.
There's four Jawas going around and swearing at him.
But what a cool find. It's great that I never see anything like that. I go to flea markets. I just find a little head on. I have to start
but
going
that
to
that was only
lots.
$6.
That's true. This was probably a lot more.
What really cracked me up about this is thinking to myself, you know, what's happening on this? You know, I don't know if you ever see those old, like, sometimes the Simpsons will do spoofs on this or some of the old shows, like, where they get the old Batmobile and it's, like, really awesome. Right. Like, oh, we have the Batmobile. Right. And then they jump into it and it's backfiring all the way down the street and everything like that.
Yeah. And yeah, I know what you're saying. You know, that would happen to us.
Right. The 71 Volkswagen. It had a very simple engine. I had a 73, and, you know, it's loud, and you're shifting, and it's not, you know, if you could drive stick with a Volkswagen Bug, you can do, you can drive stick with pretty much
anything. Yeah, but if you put Vaseline on the lens, it looks like it's flying.
A fine addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
A little bit of collecting news for you.
Luke!
That's right. If you're looking for your Luke, well, Dan Curto has some news for you here. Posted from RebelScum.com. If you placed an order for the concept Luke Skywalker with HasbroToyShop.com a few weeks ago, then you might have gotten an email canceling your order. If you read our previous report, then you'd know that you had to call by June 9th to cancel your order. Well, it appears that a computer glitch has canceled all the orders. What's going on? Well, your best bet is to call the customer service center at 1-800-408-0052. So you heard it from Dan Curto. Just call customer service.
There's
he
nothing
doesn't know.
Worse when, you know, when you're at a call center or something like that than hearing something like this. Because it's just like, oh, no. This is going to be the worst week of our lives. You know, until this is over, you know,
right.
It's going to be terrible.
You know, I'd call him and I'd go,
Luke.
You got to give it to Owen. He doesn't give up.
No. And really, he does. It's not like he's changing directions or looking.
Right.
Like he's just standing in the same spot. Like, this one's going to get him.
The great Charlie Ross. He does it. he pays tribute to that in his one man Star Wars trilogy. It's very cool. Boy, just when you thought there was nothing else you could get Dustin Roberts for Christmas or his birthday or his
President's Day,
right? Tato, I've never heard of them, but apparently
he was one of the Jacksons, wasn't he? Oh, no, I'm sorry, that was Tito.
Oh my goodness, Tato shapes audio speakers in the likeness of R2-D2. Adding another must-have product for the Uber fan who has everything remotely related to the Star Wars franchise. Okay, so these 12-centimeter or like almost 5-inch tall little R2-D2s connect to your laptop computer or MP3 player. Just a standard 3.5 stereo plug, millimeter stereo plug. And all of a sudden you got R2-D2 there playing the Force cast. What do you think?
I think that's the way to go.
I think we need that as our official monitors here in the ForceCast studios.
That's right.
Little R2s.
I'm just going to get like some tape and tape them together around my ears. That can be my headphones. I don't think that's quite the same thing, but it's got to be Star Wars.
People are already whispering behind your back. You don't need to be walking around with a couple of R2s
that's true.
Taped to the side of your head.
Yeah.
Pre-orders are welcome. But they'll be shipping in mid to late December 2000. Is this like a sideshow item? Pre-order now. Shipping in 2010.
Yes.
Well, there is your Star Wars collecting update. Let's see what we got going on.
Don't you have one more Star Wars collecting update now that you just, you know, hit sideshow up?
You're good.
You need to be on this one.
You are good, my friend. Okay, last week, I'll give you a little bit of resolution. I went on a little bit about Sideshow and how I was C4 and I went the last day of the convention and tried to get my Yavin Celebration Luke and was turned down. So they sent me this email confirming that my order would be canceled, and I emailed them back, and I probably wasn't as diplomatic as I should have been. But in retrospect, it worked. It at least got their attention. They emailed me back, said they were sorry that that I was disappointed with how things turned out, but that's pretty much the way it's going to be, and they would try to get me on the waiting list. Well, success. Got an email from I'm not going to say her name, just in case. I don't know if she did anything, you know, she twisted any rules or whatnot to
did you write it in the email? Do you know who I am?
No, no, but it's on my email signature.
Yeah, well,
but not that. I hope that doesn't have anything to do with it. I really, and I don't think that it does.
I don't think so. I hope they took. I'm pretty sure they took care of everybody that they could.
Yeah,
in the same
I would like to think that. But hey, it's me. but she did email me personally and say, hey, I found one for you, and as long as you're willing to, you know, let us charge your credit card again and pay the shipping, it's good to go. You're good to go. So, happy ending for me. So,
yes.
Sideshow and I...
proving once again that Sideshow does it right.
That's
at least
right.
In my opinion.
That's right. Well, we found out, too, after last week's show, that the problem that I was experiencing when I was trying to pre-order the Obi-Wan figure was not unique to just me. They had a glitch which caused a lot of people to jump on the phone... rather than order online, and then they had problems on the phone. So it hasn't been an easy week for the folks at Sideshow. So,
no. So we'll cut them some slack.
We'll cut them some slack, and thank you. You know who you are out there if you're listening. My favorite customer service rep who made sure that I didn't completely get screwed out of the Luke. So I'm excited. It should be on its way. Actually, I just got the confirmation today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think that does it.
That does
for,
do it.
Your collecting update for this week. Let's see what's going on with our mailbag.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Doctor. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
All right, as we mentioned at the top of the show, of course, we want to honor our fathers out there, all of you fathers for Father's Day. Hopefully you can do something special, like maybe, I don't know, pick up the I Am Your Father's Day Luke and Vader 2-pack for yourself, Walmart exclusive. That's pretty clever.
I think it's very funny.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get it and give it to
myself.
Even my
girlfriend thought that was funny.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, and she's very pessimistic on all of that stuff, so.
Yeah, she's not.
That's my gauge. When the meter goes to middle for her, bam, you scored.
She's going to loosen up.
I know.
She's going to loosen up. It's just that Star Wars takes attention away from her.
I'm not going to fall into that trap. I'm not going to say anything that you...
She doesn't listen.
No, but
you know,
case,
this would be the one episode.
This would be the one, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I can say that about Pete's girlfriend only because I've known her forever and ever and ever, and she's like a sister to me, and so it's true. You guys are still in that, you know, it's all new phase.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can't wait until you're out of that phase. Anyway, so... congrats to all you fathers out there, and enjoy this. Jimmy Mack put together this little tribute to you.
I am your father.
You knew my father?
He has too much of his father in him.
No, my father didn't fight in the wars. He was a navigator on a spice freighter.
He's my father.
Your father.
I am your father.
And Pete has a special listener mail from a father, and he wanted to share this with us.
It's actually from a father to a father. It's actually from Greg Cass in Cambridge, Massachusetts, not in Canada. But Greg does give me artistic license, saying that he does tend to be a little long-winded, and so we can edit it down if it's too long. So, Greg, I'm going to take you up on your offer, and basically what Greg says is that his parents owned a small mom-and-pop grocery store that they ran, and... late in the in about 96, they had some bad news when the Pepsi cooler that was in front leaked out water, and it caused all sorts of problems and all sorts of damage, and they had to pay out a lot of money in order to fix that and get that taken care of, and it really tightened up Christmas for that year. So later on in 97, so not too long after this, the Pepsi salesman comes knocking on the door, and they're a little bit upset about this whole Pepsi cooler thing. So But this happens to be when they're doing their promotional tie-ins with the special editions.
Ah.
And so knowing that it would really help his son and really be a great, huge gift for him, his dad got the one of the full-sized R2-D2 soda coolers. And Pepsi then came through and said, you know what, we'll give it to you completely for free, knowing that it wouldn't be used. It was going to go directly into his room as a collector. So he has had that since then, and it has been a part of his bedroom since then. And, he and his dad still talk about Star Wars collectibles, and I just think that's awesome.
That's great.
They've been able to not only maintain that, but have that piece of paraphernalia that can always remind him not only of Star Wars but of his dad. And
you know, that's funny.
What a great tale for Father's Day.
It is. It's great. What was his name?
Greg.
Thank you for that, Greg. That's very cool. So one of the things that we didn't really talk much about with C4 was just how amazing it was to see the families out there.
Absolutely.
And particularly the dads with their sons and daughters,
mm-hmm,
enjoying Star Wars together and seeing, you know, for me, I've never been into sports. And so I would hope that, you know, if I have a son someday and he's really into sports, I'm going to learn everything I can about that sport to support him. But I've always thought, boy, someday if I have a son or a daughter, I really hope that's Star Wars is something we can bond over. And so it was just awesome to see the moms and dads and the sons and the daughters together talking passionately and laughing. And it just, that was one of the neat things to just kind of sit back and sort of, you know, people watch.
Yeah, really enjoy.
It was so family fun, and I don't mean that any kind of a lame or corny way. It was really cool.
It was right.
Although I gotta say, I don't know if I was working the convention like we were, that I'd want to have my family with me.
No, I don't think so. I think they would be quite upset.
Because I know Jimmy was saying, you know, there were a lot of times where Jimmy was really missing his kids, and because he's got two boys that are Star Wars fans, and but you know, he would every once in a while, then he'd come back to reality, like, you know what, it's probably a good thing that they're not here, because you know, we were just, you know, going like gangbusters the whole time,
right?
So. But anyway, that's great. So happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. And another father, we got an email from Will. And who we met over at Artist Alley, he and his daughter, and they sent along some scans. We obviously can't show them to you, obviously, on the podcast, but his daughter, Karina,
yes,
is a big fan of the art of Star Wars. Well, art in general. She's a big comic fan. And but after C4, she's really, I think, according to her dad, Will, been bitten by the bug, the Star Wars bug, and she's been drawing Star Wars nonstop. And so he sent some samples, and gosh, I think she's what, nine? Is she nine?
I think she was a little bit older than that.
Or 11?
11, I think.
11. Still, for an 11-year-old, it's some really cool stuff.
Well, and we know from the interviews with the artists that that's how it starts. You know,
right?
You just start, and all of a sudden it becomes your passion. And
that's right.
Years later, you find that you're sitting in Artist Alley as not... you know,
we may see her at like Celebration 8.
Yes.
You never know. That was another great example. I mean, just seeing the two of them together, and we had the voicemail from Will last week. That really meant a lot to him, being able to share that with his daughter. So again, happy Father's Day. Feeling the love. We have some more Celebration 4 tales here. Let's see. What do we got? We've got David. David has a Star Wars tale. David, take it away.
Hey, my name is David Spencer. I have a Star Wars tale for you guys. Recently, it was my birthday, and I got a shiny new green iPod and a birthday card that had the Celebrate Good Times song playing, and on the back of the iPod was engraved Kochi Cha, which, if you don't know, shame on you, but it's Ewokies for celebrate. And so I got the iPod, and this was before I knew about your Force Cast, and I looked on the internet to look for Star Wars podcast, and I turned it on, and the first thing I heard was the Celebrate Good Times song playing. So reminding me again that I was unable to make it to Celebration 4. So, but it, your Force cast has really helped me pull through the depressing hours of knowing that I wasn't able to make it. And but it's been bittersweet, because, but anyways, so, yeah, that was my Star Wars tale, and Mace Windu is not dead. Bye.
No, I saw him at the gas station. Mace Windu, he's not dead. He was with Elvis. No, that's cool. So thank you, David. Appreciate that. And to talk about fate, he gets the iPod. It's got Celebration on it. It's engraved. And then he finds the Force cast.
Yes.
It was meant to be.
Yes.
Everything is proceeding as I have foreseen. All right. Who do we have next? We've got, we've got Dex, 1138. He's got a Star Wars Celebration 4 tale for us. Take it away, Dex.
Hey, Forcecaster. This is Dex, 1138 from Massachusetts, checking in post-C4. I realize it was over a little while ago, but my crew and I stopped at Vegas on the way home. And while we did play some Star Wars slot machines, we did not hit the big jackpot like that other gentleman did. Just wanted to say a few things to you guys. Firstly, I was a little disappointed that I didn't get to meet up with any of you guys, because I was really looking forward to actually meeting you guys in person. And I did see Dustin on the convention floor briefly, so that was kind of cool. Got to meet the man. Well, not Jay, but, you know, the man. And secondly, I wanted to give a big thank you to you and everybody on the crew for doing the podcast that you did, because even though I was there every day, all day, there was still a lot of stuff that I missed, and you guys really helped fill that experience in for me. Thirdly, I wanted to share a little C4 tale with you. I'll try to keep it brief. But going into the vacation, we were a little strapped for cash as it was, and we ran into some problems with direct deposit while on vacation, so we were a little more strapped for cash. And I was looking at the schedule and getting anxious about all these things that were going on at the same time, and I wasn't going to be able to do everything I wanted to do. And I don't know what happened, but everything just kind of really got to me. So here I was at C4, the 30th anniversary of Star Wars, and I was just really in a horrible mood for it. And then we were walking around in the central area before the one of the halls there where the R2 units would normally hang out, and I saw this Treadwell droid. Now, I've always liked the Treadwell because it's a little different. You don't see him around that much. So I went to go talk to the creator of the Treadwell droid, and he was a slightly older gentleman, probably about 20, 30 years older than myself. So I went over to go talk to him about the Treadwell, and the first thing he says to me in this amazingly cheery voice is, "Happy anniversary to you." And by God, if that didn't just break through my horrible mood. And I returned it right back to him. And from that day on, I just decided, the heck with everything else. You know, we're here for Star Wars. It's the 30th anniversary. What's there to be upset about? So that was really one of the high points of the whole con for me, was just that little 2 minutes of time that I spent with that guy. It just really turned me around for the whole thing. So I guess that's pretty much it. And hopefully we'll see you guys sometime in the future at some other con. But otherwise, we'll keep listening to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Dex. And sorry we didn't get a chance to meet you. It sounds like you're a good chap. So hopefully we'll catch you at Celebration 5. Now, we do have some emails that have come in here. This from Scott from South Dakota. He says, on the way to the airport, I rode... This is at C4, so I guess this is kind of like a C4 tale in a way.
Mm-hmm.
On the way to the airport, I rode the shuttle with Jack. Now, as you know, Jack is the winner of the Star Wars Celebrity Contest. We featured him last week at the end of the show in his Anakin song, which is just incredible. But according to Scott, he says, on the way to the airport, I rode the shuttle with Jack. When we were told he won the contest, we kind of blew him off. Still impressed, but not really giving him his due. After watching the video and listening again at the end of the podcast, I have to apologize and now give him his rightful accolades for a very impressive victory. So if he is a listener, great job, Jack. So Scott from South Dakota apologizes for Disney. And well, you should, Scott. You're going to get a good old-fashioned Forcecast scolding. We're going to take you behind the woodshed of the Palatial Forcecast Studios and give you a whooping for messing with our boy Jack. And in case you missed it last week, here's a little clip of Jack.
Anna Kim, take my hand. I'll take you from this foreign land. Desert man, darker man, you're dying in the sand.
Man, I love that tune.
Yeah, it's
the right person's got to get a hold of that.
Yeah,
not this, and I'm taking anything from Jack, but I mean, it's got to show up in somewhere.
Yeah, he's on his way. I'm gonna say I knew him when.
Yeah, so
well, I don't really know him, but
so boo Scott, but yay Scott for being a big man and admitting that you were that you blew him off and you shouldn't. So hopefully Jack is listening and will accept Scott's apology. We do here.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah. He's a listener. He's got to be a good guy. So, and he's admitting this in front of lots of different fans. we got an email from Nicholas Dunn from Tennessee. And Nick was actually at the AdventureCon in Knoxville and had an opportunity to get to the convention a little early and hung out with Anthony Daniels and Jeremy Bullock a little bit. And then went on to go to some panels with Billy Dee, Peter Mayhew, Dave Prowse. And it sounds like they had a great convention at AdventureCon in Knoxville.
When I read through this, I was like, wow, all those people were there. Those basically the same people that were at Celebration 4.
Yeah. So, and I had asked Jeremy when we were talking to him, is it like a family? And he says it kind of is, this tribe of Star Wars celebrities that go to these conventions. But anyway, more to the point, Nick talks about his experience with Anthony Daniels. He says, the first person I approached was Anthony Daniels. I assumed that he would most likely have the biggest crowd around him all day, and it would be great to talk to him before the crowd, before it got too crowded with people. It's like, again, Nick was in there early. He says, I thanked him for coming and asked about Celebration 4. He responded, oh, why couldn't you have made it? I told him because of my work, and he asked what I did. And after a few more minutes of conversation, he asked if there was anything I'd like to know. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you'd like to know? Off the top of my head, I couldn't, so I just asked for a moment that not many people know about. He responded by telling this story about the oil bath scene in A New Hope. He said, the next time I watch that scene, to look closely just after he gets out of the oil bath, and that during the filming they used dyed green vegetable oil in the bath, and that wearing the suit and being dipped into it, the oil started to soak into the suit. And he said, if you've ever had oil on you, it's not very comfortable. And now imagine it being concentrated on your, we'll just say,
Nether region.
Thank you. So during the scene, Luke gives him a rag. And if you watch while Luke is working on R2, you can see that while Anthony Daniels is working on himself a little bit, desperately rubbing
the nether region,
trying to get the oil off. I died laughing, and seeing the movie 1,000 times, went back, and sure enough, he is doing it. After that, I asked if there was any deleted scene that he wished was left in any of the movies. Anthony responded by talking about the deleted scene from Episode 2, where Padme gives C-3PO coverings, how it was a scene of dignity for 3PO and humanity. After that, I thanked him for his time, got a photo, and went on my way to meet Jimmy Bullock. And Jimmy Bullock, always a pleasure. He actually asked him about, we asked him about this on the Forcecast when we had him back on the show for our Thanksgiving special, about that scene where he and Lando are standing there and Han's screaming and Lando looks over and Boba Fett just does that, you know, that little head tilt. And Jeremy said that, you know, he didn't have any dialogue, you know, or much dialogue. So all he could do was move. And so he just tried to look mean and kind of move his head in mysterious ways. And well, he did it. I mean, he nailed it. He nailed it. When you talk to Jeremy, he acts like, oh, I was just lucky. I happened to fit into the costume. But no, it wouldn't have been the same. It just wouldn't have been the same. So anyway, Nick, thank you. He just did a great report from AdventureCon. Wish I could read the whole thing, but I think we have to move on. I think we've got a couple more voicemails we wanted to get to real quick. Micah, one of our listeners, dedicated listeners, sent us this.
Chased us down.
Yes.
And I'm glad he did, because it was good to get to meet him. So
yeah, it was great. Here's Micah's voicemail.
Hey, Jason, Pete, Jovial Jay, Shepherd, and Jimmy Mac. I just want to tell you, it's Micah. I just want to tell you guys, thanks for the chance of getting to meet you guys and being at the live podcast. That was probably one of the most highlights of the whole thing. And I have a question, too. Did anybody ever get that Fanboys free comic? All right, let me know. All right, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you, Micah. Now, Pete, you have a little bit of a kinship with Micah, don't you?
Yes.
The name, right?
Yes. Yeah, and that is not the trivia question, Jovial J. That was his question, was I can win if it's what's Pete's middle name. And it is Micah, spelled in the same way, actually.
Yeah, that's very cool. So thank you, Micah. We got one more voicemail. This is for Jimmy Mac. I thought this was really cool. You just never know who's listening to the Forcecast. This is John from Indiana.
Hey, Jason, Pete. This is Big John from Dyer, Indiana. Want to thank you guys for excellent coverage at Celebration 4. It was almost like being there. Plus, I want to give a big shout-out to Jimmy Mac. Jimmy Mac is the reason I've come out of the closet and could praise my love of Star Wars to my wife. We used to listen to Jimmy's, I don't want to get this wrong, but Jimmy's, I think, wife, Peggy over on 105.9 out with CKG, and Wendy used to give some tidbits on Jimmy Mac's anal retentive whole concept with Star Wars action figures, and my wife never got why I bought one. Bought two, opened one, and kept one until she heard Wendy's explanation of Jimmy Mac's anal retentiveness, and she made it a little bit easier to deal with. But long-time listener, first-time caller, you guys keep up the great work. Thanks again.
Thanks.
May the force be with you.
A little premature.
Trying to cut him off.
I was. Sorry about that, John. Thanks for the voicemail. We appreciate it. If you'd like to send us a voicemail, you can do so at 330.
See, that's to you,
see?
Too.
330-8714-TFN. That's 330-8714-TFN. Or if you're on Skype, and why shouldn't you be? It's free at Skype.com. Username, Forcecast. So check it out. Well, we got through it.
I'd say we more than just got through it.
Well, again, we want to congratulate all of our winners in the little trivia question or trivia contest. I can't hear myself think, that music so loud. The trivia contest that we ran over last weekend in the Rebel Scum forums. You've got to get over there into the forums, the weekly Forcecast forums. Or under miscellaneous, you know. Yeah, that other thing.
Well,
we podcast.
We are kind of miscellaneous. So
that's true. Actually, it's
so
pretty,
pretty appropriate.
Just listen to the show.
Yeah.
anyway, congratulations to all of our winners. And as promised, we're going to give you the final question, which is for the grand prize. Again, courtesy of the History Channel and Electric Artists. Make sure that you are TiVoing or checking your local listings for replaying of the Star Wars Legacy Reveal documentary and Star Wars Tech. They're fantastic. You don't want to miss those. Thank you to Terry and the folks over there. So here it is. This is the question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
According to Jay Shepard, the two major themes of the legacy era of the expanded universe are what?
That's a tough one.
Yeah. According to Jay Shepard, the two major themes of the legacy era of the expanded universe are what? The answer, you have to find out. It's one of our Force Cast episodes. Could be a microcast. Could be a Force Cast. Could be a Galaxy of Music. Who knows? But the answer is in one of our past episodes, so you can scour away. Again, the winner gets an 8-inch portable DVD player. Perfect for travel. Again, courtesy of the folks at History Channel and Electric Artists. Once again, happy Father's Day. And if you would like to be a part of the show, there are numerous ways you can do so. Pete, why don't you tell them how they can do that?
Well, you've already told them how they can leave us a voicemail, but I'll tell them again. It's 330-8714-TFN, or if you've got Skype, username ForceCast. We've also got our email, which is podcast@theforce.net. You can check out our forums at rebelscum.com. Again, it's under the miscellaneous section. We also have a YouTube channel. It's under username TheForceNet. Check that out. There's lots of great videos that are still going up from Celebration 4, so you definitely want to check that out. And you can show all of your friends and family that you are a proud, proud listener of The ForceCast by checking out our Cafe Press store and purchasing some ForceCast merchandise. We know we got a lot of listeners that were at C4 that were sporting the gear, so we really appreciate that.
Decked out, baby. Like Eric. Eric was the most decked out.
Yes.
He had it all. A special prize for Eric.
We'll have to find one.
All right, Eric. Be checking your mailbox. We might get something out to you. Actually, Eric was one of our winners on the contest. So, you know what? You've got enough. All right. Well, thanks to Jimmy Mac for just being Jimmy Mac. And also all the great audio clips that he sends us every week. Jimmy, you just keep making the show sound better and better. We appreciate that. Thank you to Jay Shepard, Dustin Roberts, Dan Curto, and everybody at TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. Make sure you're checking for our microcasts dropping from time to time. And there's been some great ones in the last couple of weeks that Jimmy's put down. So make sure you're listening to those as well. For The ForceCast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of TheForce.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.